Here we go. We're going to start this again. Welcome to RealLibertyMedia.com, RLMRadio.xyz. I'm your host, Vincent Easley. I'm here with a ponder gander at what matters and considered perspectives, sometimes connecting voices. Today I'm looking at the Oregon standoff, the Senate Republican walkout. Started the 20th of June, which would have been a week ago yesterday. It's scheduled, the session scheduled to end at midnight Sunday, which would be June 30th at midnight, so I believe that'd be right. Now, they're talking about coming back in tomorrow morning, the Republicans are. There's 11 of them walked out to protest this cap and trade. So we'll go back into this, and I didn't get too far in before I remembered I didn't push the record. Yeah, be the media and take back your future. Yeah, just try. Do better. Journalism, that is truth, needs defense. And you are what you do, not what you say you'll do. Be the media. Today is the battle for the American West continues. It could be called the clash between two American dreams. Beyond the job, Oregon senators are protecting their constituency. Have they comported avoidance? And when is enough enough? Republicans fled amid Democratic supermajority in Oregon State Legislature 2019 regular session, failing the numbers required for a quorum. Best known as cap and trade in Oregon's House Bill 2020, a punitive carbon tax or pay-as-you-pollute climate change measure misses the mark. So I was talking about Hal covered, he went from 24 minutes into one hour and 8 minutes last week, specifically talking about this. And referred throughout. So the whole 2 hours is definitely the you want to listen to all. If you haven't already listened to Hal Anthony right here at Real Liberty Media on Sundays at 9 o'clock on the left coast out there where all this contingency is going on. So what happened? Are we duty bound? So take a look from behind the woodshed, and it'll be right here. You can click it to listen. Hal walks us through and points out where they really failed to address this it's tax without representation. And I've seen a few people talking about this, how also that, legally it'd have to go through the voters, but they passed it through as an emergency thing following California. It's people are up in arms. They've got the Capitol field trucks and loggers and farmers and ranchers are all worried about how it's going to affect their livelihood. And most of the work's already gone. All the jobs nearly gone from Oregon in the Pacific Northwest. You know, as a conservative of the land, you would think we could see some common ground here from the left and the right. If you're working the land, you don't want to destroy it because then you don't have anything left. The days, we've come along and found law that brings us to peace through the Taylor Grazing Act and others. Then it becomes convoluted when they come along in the 1970s there that kicked off this whole war in the West in these extreme environmentalism and outright lies of what I said. Grimner said I said something, duty. Yes, duty, D-U-T-Y. We have a duty and an obligation to address the criminality in the world of this occupation that we're in. A lot of people don't see it, so trying to beat it into their heads not going to make a person see your point of view. And you can even be nice with people and have a different point of view, and most times you're not going to change anybody's mind. So I don't that's not what I'm trying to do. Report and keeping a record here, setting a record, being a witness. So it was a highly contentious legislation, and it would institute a sweeping cap-and-trade program in Oregon, again, following the one in California. California, they've been running people out of there for a long, long time. I don't even know how they survive. It's one of the world's largest economies, California is. It's amazing, all these digits and fiat currencies that's floating around, and we've got all the other ones that go with them now, cryptocurrency, because the good old greenback just ain't good enough no more. Let's carry on the Ponzi scheme, shall we? Oregon Senate standoff continues. Could a few words make a difference? This comes from Dirk. Oh, I've put this stuff so small, but he's over on Twitter. Dirk Vanderhart, I think his name is. And this comes from the 21st of this month. It says that Republican senators refused to show up for work at the Oregon legislature for a second day Friday. So that was, they walked out a week ago, or the 20th. So that was Friday, a week ago today that he's writing. And their standoff with Democrats seemed to have no end in sight. So a lot of fighting. The Democrats have the supermajority. They have, I think, 20 senators, and the Democrats have 12, and one has died, so they have 11. And the Senate session needed 10 more to make a quorum. Okay, clearing on. State police communicating with missing Oregon senators as Democrats balk at any new deal. Comes from Claire Withcomb and Mark Miller and Aubrey Weber at Oregon Capitol Bureau, June 20th. Republicans disappear. Democrats dig in. State police get polite, and the next steps for the Oregon legislature are unclear. Governor Kate Brown appears in no mood to deal, as she did last month, to end a similar walkout by Senate Republicans. Oregon legislatures in the minority have often used walkouts as a leverage. And notice it didn't say Democrat or Republican there, just the minority. So the Democrats have, I guess, in recent history, taken the seats of power there. I was trying to find out what this is, and I see it. Sherry Wilson is using it also. It's a hashtag, ICYMI. Anybody want to take a peek and see if they can figure out that hashtag? These letters, ICYMI. But it's running with this, the Oregon Senator walkout. So in 2001, then Senator Democrat leader, Oregon Governor Brown, called the House Dems walkout in 2001 very appropriate. And said under certain circumstances, it's fair to say we would use all tools available to us and stage a similar boycott. Well, here we are, Senate, and I've got a typo there for ours. Yeah, that's a Republican Senate, Republicans fighting for Oregonians. Is that kind of the wrong way to say it? Oregonian, I guess that's why everybody say it. Everybody says Arkansan, and that's just very offensive to me. So, Oregonians, I'll fold the paper. So here are some of the most significant ones prior to Thursday's walkout, and this will be in the radio log here where you can click on and go see all those folks. So I've got a lot of links in here. And where you can find more information. If the Oregon Republicans walk out on the 2020 vote, can police really arrest them? And Lars, this is, you'll find a audio here where he's talking to somebody. Lars brings on Bernie Gisto, a retired Malamaw County Sheriff, Multnomah. I'm not from out there, so I'm not real good with these county names. They're like Malheur, they got some a lot of Indian names there, so you got to know how to say them. But the county sheriff, to discuss what actions Governor Kate Brown is planning on taking in regards to Republican senators walking out to block the vote on HB 2020. Kate Brown has threatened to send state troopers to round up the Republicans, but can the police physically arrest them? You can listen below for more. There is a provision in the state constitution that says lawmakers can be compelled to attend a floor session in the Senate. So this is a question I've not had answered yet. Is it against the law? I mean, they're getting fined $500 a day for each for not being there. But is there an actual law that they could be arrested under other than a rule or a so forth? These rules, I've got a link down here, too. On the rules of how that all works. Let me see somebody saying. Grammar tells me why. ICYMI. Oh, well, it was just too simple. In case you missed it. I thought it really had some kind of meaning. But, you know, Twitter, you only get 140 characters or 80 or something. Well, where am I? Here? Thank you, Grimmer. I appreciate that. Duty to enforce laws and regulations of agencies. And there will be the link right there. You can see all that. The state police, with approval of the governor, may be called upon by any branch or department of the state government to enforce criminal laws or, here we go, any regulations of such branch or department. Amended by 1971 C-58, 2011 Oregon Revised Statutes, ORS, Volume 5, Chapter 17, 200 ORS, Chapter 181.050, and Universal Citation also. There's all the citations and links. So police start searching for senators. Oregon State Police began calling the Republican members, trying to determine their locations. One theory is in the Capitol is that a handful of Republicans boarded a small plane Wednesday afternoon and flew to Missoula, Montana. I believe some are in Idaho. I'm not going to be touching too heavy on the militia. I'm going to refer you to a few folks to see that. And Hal and I both are in agreement. It's a real bad idea to go talking about killing folks and dragging them out and their blood in the street and all that stuff and starting a war. Just, you know, it's not only is it a very bad idea for society and people, and history will tell you time and time again, but it's stupid, too, if you're saying stuff like that, because you can expect the FBI is going to be coming for you. How many times have I told you to guard your words? Some people are a little more clever than others, and some are just not very smart at all. Listed below are all the current Republican state senators. Also listed are their Capitol phone numbers and emails, office and website addresses. And link here for the Oregon state senators, both Republicans and Democrats. Rats. Oregon laws 1999 to 2018 sessions are here. The Oregon laws are often called the session laws. Each enrolled bill approved by the governor is assigned an Oregon law chapter number by the Secretary of State. Chapter numbering begins with one for each regular or special session. Statutory initiatives adopted by the voters receive Oregon laws chapter numbers for the regular sessions that follow the election. So, you know, I might have... this might not be a regular session then, if it's House Bill 2020. I probably have some listed that information wrong there. Maybe this is a special session because it was this bill, but they got other stuff on the table they're trying to get through. So it's got to be a regular. I don't know. Maybe that was added in, but it was called an emergency thing too. So if somebody knows more about that, they can come along and correct me, and I'd appreciate it. Oregon farmers, truckers, loggers, and senators rebel against the Democrats. This is from Drew Christianev. It looks like June 26th of 2019. The various funds and grant programs outlined in the bills are voluminous, indefinite, and are vacacious. That is, vacacious. I thought I knew that word. Indefinite and ambivalent. What has made a few inroads into the national news cycle is the rebellion of truckers, loggers, and according to a source, upcoming protests by farmers. Under the Oregon Constitution, Article 2, provisions may be made by law to require that persons who vote upon questions of levying special taxes or issues or issuing public bonds shall be taxpayers. As this cap and trade appears to be a special tax, wouldn't a referendum vote be necessary to implement the plan rather than legislative action? Now, that's what a lot of people are saying. But then there are others who are saying, oh, we're all going to die because of climate change. And cow farts and all that, what, I guess there's cows on the moon now. Found methane there. Is that right, Grimner? So people, perhaps the Democrats believe that by levying a tax without calling it a tax, terming them allowances that can be auctioned and awarded as credits against greenhouse gas gases emitted, they're sidestepping the constitutional directive stated in Article 9, Section 3, tax imposed only by a law, statement of purpose, no tax shall be levied except in accordance with law. Every law imposing a tax shall state distinctly the purpose to which the revenue shall be applied. So you can read all through here if you want to really get down to the nuts and bolts there, and you'll see where all this other information is in there. So that they don't even have it really set up. It's like we've got what, how many pages and pages and pages that you hear about? And no, we can't read it. We got to pass it, and then we'll read it or whatever. Who's going to read it? Probably no one. So is it dead or playing possum? The Oregon Senate president suggests that HB 2020 is dead. It's from Jim Everett, June the 25th. Here's a from Vinny RLM Radio, Oregon's Cap and Trade, HB 2020, dead or playing possum. So I added that in there. And this comes back in through Hal and KXL.com, the Oregon Senate president. Saying, I think he might be trying to trick them back in there. But you can see in here in the radio log, and Hal's got weighing in there. Behind the Woodshed, it's at Behind the Woodshed on Twitter. Come on along, and if you can weigh through. It's hard. It really is hard to learn something when you already think that you know it, or you've heard the echo chamber, and then just stuff doesn't make sense, does it? So, let's see, Hal said he didn't pull that treasonous bill as he is duty-bound to do it if he were actually working for the people. And please don't confuse his statement as mere unsubstantiated opinion. There's a 2013 default judgment against the state. Him. Yep, and the government. So, Oregon Republican lawmakers say they are not taking any chances. I might have to click that one so I can get a little more who that is. I didn't finish that one, it looks like. Yeah, this is from Newsweek Politics. Benjamin Fearnow. What a name, Fearnow. Ben Fearnow. Huh. Excuse me. I've noticed that names, sometimes they're just like, especially in Bruce Doucette's case up in Denver, the names of those involved, Judge Spear, Robert Shapiro, like Robert Ship. You got Miss Wart was on the prosecution. Ryan English, the FBI agent and also special witness prosecution in the court. I don't get that. Get up and testify before Bruce could, and you know, knowing what he's going to say and squash it down. And then jury instructions. Yeah, so, yeah, if anybody can really understand it all, they've probably still don't understand it. So Oregon Republicans gloat on Fox News while hiding in Idaho to escape climate change voice. Yet a lot of people have been pretty critical, and it's my contingency that they were doing their job. They were doing their duty. Their job is to do their duty. It's not to follow specifically. If a rule is wrong, then we have a duty and obligation to challenge that. Now, this cap and trade, a lot of people on the left think it's good, but still I know that it is a stalking horse. It's a false front, and it's another step, and this is a big step, too, to rob us. If the occupiers, what? Just look at a dollar. We were talking about crypto earlier. What's a dollar worth? A penny or two from its actual value? And then the Ponzi scheme from the Federal Reserve? So, I mean, they're not going to be happy until they have your breath of life. Forget your property and possessions. Yeah. One of the 11 runaway Republican Oregon state senators described his escape from the state police over a climate change vote even appearing on Fox News from an undisclosed location as he evades potential arrest. Oregon Republican lawmakers say they are not taking any chances. That's right. After fleeing the state in order to avoid giving the state legislature quorum, which would allow a vote on cap and trade system intended to limit carbon emissions. State Senator Tim Knobbs, speaking with the Wall Street Journal Monday, detailed his initial escape to neighboring Washington State, where he became fearful that climate change-friendly Democrat Governor Jay Inslee would have him arrested and sent back to Oregon. He drove his hybrid, he's even driving a hybrid Ford Fusion to a lakeside cabin in Idaho, yeah, probably safe in Idaho, where he appeared on Fox and Friends and bragged that he was hiding in plain sight. That's the best way to do it, I guess, if keep your head down to some degree. That's probably not hiding in plain sight, buddy, with your head down. So Knapp told Fox and Friends host Steve Ducey Tuesday he had spoken with the Oregon State Police superintendent twice and politely declined to allow troopers to return him to Salem. Boy, I remember another Salem had witch trials. Times have changed, huh? And the witches are doing the burning now, which reminds me. At least one other Oregon Republican state senator who fled the state, Cliff Bentz, described purchasing a burner cell phone to avoid being tracked, and he said he has changed hotels routinely to stay one step ahead of law enforcement. You guys, I'll guarantee they know where everybody is. Everybody. And if you don't know who the undercover informant snitch is among you, there's one there, believe you me. They've got them in place. So they were playing this, with a soft glove when the militia came out. And mainstream really hasn't spoke a lot about this, but the three percenters have stepped up and said that they'd offer their services in protecting any way they could. Eric Parker, I think he's guarding his words more carefully. Of course, there's a lot of people that was been put in prison for words. There now. Yeah, lose your life for your words. Don't say the wrong thing, especially somebody pointing a gun at you. Yeah. You say shoot? No. Don't even say it with your hands up. Well, Idaho State Police have said they're not pursuing Oregon runaway Republicans, but they've not broken any law in its own state, any of its own state laws, and any Idaho state government and Idaho state government is one of the few in the region controlled by Republican lawmakers. Yeah, it's a little holdout, I guess, up there. California fell, then Oregon and Washington fell. They've gone for Montana, Colorado, I think. Changing and making laws and setting policy to rip people off and to hold them down, take the money. I know that money just didn't go as far as it did when I was young. And I'm not that old. I mean, 55 this year, I used to think that was old, but man, that is really not that much of a time. But slow but sure and incrementally over years and decades, they bring things in. It's back in the 70s when the Endangered Species Act come in, and it's used for trickery. They say the cows are harming the tortoises. It's not true. Matter of fact, I've said this over and over. The tortoise is helped along. That's probably why he won the race against the tortoise. Or the hare, I mean. The tortoise won against the hare on account of having all that good grubbing of dookie to eat. There are cow patties and sheep pellets. High bunch of good food for him. So, I've had a little discussion up here on Twitter, and I'll have to get a little bit deeper in that, but this person telling me that cows ain't the same as, because I said there used to be grazing, you know, herd animals, and they're all gone now. So, you know, the buffalo was the last major one to go. You still got, you know, some animals that live wild, the bighorn sheep, you got elk and deer and so forth that, but not in heavy concentrations. Yeah, herd animals, you might get herds of elk, but they're not they don't exist in the numbers if in the olden days. But you can imagine going and looking in the fossil record and seeing how much bigger the animals were. Everything was bigger. Why do you suppose that is? Well, I'm going to tell you, because energy is neither created nor destroyed. This is like entropy. You can't gain information when you reproduce, so you're losing information. The isolation of gene pool, so they're dying out. You can't replace them. You can't breed a wolf out of a chihuahua. Not even a Great Dane can you breed back into a wolf, because that genetic information is gone and lost. Maybe scientists will be able to find them tucked away and extract them. You know, I expect to see a woolly mammoth resurrected in my time. You know, Jurassic Park even is not, which Jurassic Park's the wrong strata for the dinosaur at that time from the movie, but hey, all you got to do is keep saying the same thing over and over, and don't matter if it's right or not, and then just get somebody to say it real nice, and people will believe it, right? Well, you can go on here, and Fox and Friends here from Newsweek, long, but it's in the, and I'll have to go touch it up, I've got it there, yeah, just a little bit of minor information there it is. Oregon Republican lawmakers say they are not taking any chances. All right, we're going to do a test. Ha says, let's do a test. Put a bunch of tortoises in a pen and let a cow in. See how many are stepped on. Wait. Okay, a bunch of tortoises. How many cows? One cow? All right. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I've covered this, you know, the information's there in past broadcasts. There is a lot of study, 300 years of study, and it shows that, I don't know. You might find a tortoise that got a shell cracked, but, you know, have you ever seen any animal trying to eat a turtle or a tortoise or a terrapin and break that shell? You think a cow's going to go out there and jump up on it? No, or cows go out of their way not to step on things and in holes and on rocks. I mean, they just don't like stumble along. Oopity-doopity-doopity-doop, there's the turtle. I think I'll step on them. Well, no, the tortoise cows are excluded in some areas, like test sites out in Nevada, and the numbers of tortoise are decimated down to extinction levels. Less cows, less turtles. So it is the tail of the tortoise and the hare with a H-A-I-R, hare, hide, let me try it again. The tail of the tortoise and the hare, hide and hoof. I've got it written down better. Yeah, hide the truth and hoof to hide the truth anyways, something like that. Now, I've got a lot of, critical opinion here and all this stuff that I've been sharing so far, and other than one or two. And so now I come in here to read out news. Thank you, Sherry Duvalin. After being disrespected, ignored, and just plain dismissed, the Senate Republicans listened to their conscience and their constituents and fled the state of Oregon to deny the nut jobs a quorum. I shared that to Twitter as a quote. I pulled it out. I guess I should put quote marks on it. But government isn't just for tyrants anymore. That's right. And we can find, let's see, I believe that is goes to my Twitter link there, and we can click this, I believe, and go right to Readout News, and I'll tell you the author there. His name is, it's an editorial and opinion, by the way, because somebody, if you look at my Twitter, I got a little bit of smack in there. There's some fun in it, though. Government isn't just for tyrants anymore. That's right. You, too, can be a tyrant, and if you'll tune in next Thursday for 20% off, that's right, we got it, Flash. Going to give you a discount. Such a deal. Yes. Or you can not be a tyrant. That doesn't cost anything. As I write this article, says, did I tell you his name yet? Where's your name at? Where is your name? I've seen it before. And now I'm not. Let me go find his name. In Liberty, that's his name, Chris Brumbles. And he's the Columbia County Coordinator, the Oregon's Firearms Federation, founder of Oregon Irregulars 3%, and Northern Coordinator of the SAPO/SASO. Y'all can figure out what them words are, acronyms. Yeah, so as he writes this, I'm going to go ahead and read this whole article. You can come along and read the rest if I don't. As I write this article, I'm proud to report that the tyranny in Oregon is on hold for the second time this session. The Republicans in the Senate have walked out of the Capitol in Salem and away from the insane agenda of the far-left radical majority and their Kremlin crazy Kate Brown. Gotta love ad hominem, right? Which really discredits a lot of things. It's fun, absolutely fun. But after being disrespected, ignored, and just plain dismissed, the Senate Republicans listened to the conscience in their constituents and fled the state of Oregon to deny the nut jobs a quorum. That's what I copied when I shared it. I thought it was funny. And I knew it'd probably bring out some criticism. Yeah. I mean, you're not nuts just because somebody's not nuts just because they don't have the same ideology as you. You know, we got to be able to work through this, and only some will, ever take the time to do that and take the time to reason. Speaking of, the only reason, says the article, we have government is to protect our property. That's what government's supposed to be, but it has become an entity unto itself. It's a terrible beast and consumes everything in its path. Look at all the wars, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, and on and on and on. When they declare war on something to try to fix it, it's done. Over. Waste and spend, that's the purpose of government. You look it up. Waste and spend. Look at the report from Iron Mountain for the... Now, I suppose some people would discredit it, but it was a think tank publication, and people just don't write all that stuff as a good hoax, you know. Quite obvious that it had some type of influence and influenced others as well. So they tried to pass the gun laws in the U.S. as well as mandatory vaccine. Now, I read something about where there's an exemption, but nobody had to tell you about the exemption. So I don't know to the extent of what exemption there is, whether it be religious or personal or for whatever reason. But that was killed to get the Senate Republicans back to the table the last time they walked out. Laws are... let's see here. Let me scroll a little bit. Laws are waiting to disenfranchise voters to make it almost impossible for us to refer them to destroy what's left of our state. Cap and trade was being forced through against the will of the people. I'm not too sure how true a statement that is, because the vast majority of the population is going to be citified, with people that live in cities. So, I mean, if it goes to, I don't know, if people are just willing to, yeah, I'll take more of my money. I don't know if they'll pass public vote or not, but nobody has a right to vote to take anything from you. If you enter into a voluntary, if you want to go buy gas, well, you can go buy gas and whatever taxes are included in that to cost, but you know the government comes in and sops it up. But what if you wanted to, you know, make you an engine that got a lot, me and Flash talked about this, get better mileage. What if you wanted to grow some hemp and fuel your moped with hemp? Lots you can do. Anyways, yeah, God bless, he says, and keep y'all safe. Thank you, and may other states follow your lead. Long live our republic. I think it's gone. Indeed, they've gone past even the military occupation and into extrajudicial. So, pretty much lost. The government is not does not represent the people. They've got their lobbyists. It's a big old cheating fraud, ain't it? All right, let's go back to the radio log. I like to say R log, but nobody knows what that means. R log? What? Grimner. What is R log? No, radio log. It's a hashtag. R-L-O-G. And you don't have to be a tyrant. But the government generally is. Here is from Cherry Wilson from Countering the Rhetoric newsfeed. That's at CTRN newsfeed. She's a friend from the left side. But you know what? I really like this girl. She's not mean. Matter of fact, I told her a while back, I saw something about Trump supposedly being a Christian. Now, I know that Cherry doesn't claim to be a Christian, but I told her, I said, and I explained, you know, why the context, but I told her, I said, you have a lot more Christian characteristics than Donald Trump ever did. So, I don't like that word anyways, because it's owned and so controlled and, yeah, Christian, or the Christ-like, and whether you believe in them or not, there's an idea there of doing good and not beating up the little person and calling them out on sin. Well, there's a saying, you're straining gnats out of your water while you're drinking or eating camel steaks. So if you know what the cloven hoof, all that business is. A camel's got a cloven foot, but it's soft. It's not a hoof. So they try to... It chews its cud, too. So the cloven hoof and chews its cud is clean meat. The camel didn't get really by there. But, you know, I don't know how the chicken made it either. Them things are nasty. Nasty. Well, runaway senators, militia, and cop money. What the hell just happened in Oregon? That says Tim Dickinson from Rolling. Yeah, that is Rolling Stone. This is a real hip piece in here. The language, so I mean, it's just not that last guy's language. His is a little more, just a little more venom in it. And the really, really good writers, they'll tell you what happened and where to go. And what to do with yourself, and you can fill in the rest of that. You'll know what I'm talking about, probably. And you'll look forward to it, to the trip and the other things, and we'll just call it jumping a lake and go to hell. Figure it out. And you'll be like, oh, boy, this sounds like fun. So there's some really, really good writers that have a great deal of influence. And I noticed that and confirmed it, at least ways for myself, and dealing with these big guys out here in Vegas that set the opinion for the American people. Well, the Republican war on democracy has ground the state's government to a halt. So, first of all, mob rule is not a good idea, right? How many let's just say if you had more tortoises than cows and cattle, Could they vote? No. Wouldn't do any good anyways. All right. Hon says it probably was. You're just not convinced. Yes, that's a good one. It's rigged. Vote faster. I say, yes, convinced. Easily convinced. Convinced easily. Yes, vote harder, stronger, and faster. Well, wow. You know, if you moved into a new neighborhood, maybe you didn't have a lot of money and you couldn't pick the real nice neighborhood and had to get where miscreants were at. And even the law might be afraid to just come around unless they come in great force. So you can't really expect the law to save you in some places. So then you get this gang that say, well, let's go down to Mexico. How many people have got to pay protection there or something? But you don't think it happens in American cities? Well, the cops are a pretty big gang, and some of them are corrupt. In some cities, they write TV shows and movies about it. I mean, they just don't make that up. Oh, I wish I would have wrote that something down about fiction and, what was it? Fiction and history. Anyways, yeah. I think I did put it in the database. I might have to go look. Well, let's see, where am I? Right back up here. I'll start right back where I was in the middle of leaving off. Oregon Democrats won a supermajority and that's one word, so I spelt supermajority in my thing as two words. In the 2018 midterm, so the GOP no longer has the votes to block legislation. But the state's constitution requires a quorum to conduct business in the 30-seat state senate. That means that if more than 10 of the state's 30 senators don't show up for work, nothing moves. 11 GOP senators have fled the state. We cannot conclude business unless we have a quorum. Oregon State Majority Leader Jenny Burdick tells Rolling Stone the GOP walkouts, she says, are exploiting that in violation of their oath. I guess I should have went and looked up what their oath actually is. I'd be curious. Oregon State Session canceled after militia threat. That was last, when was that? Last Friday, yes. And this comes from Steve Benham at katu.com, the staff, Friday, June 21st, 2019. Oregon State Police confirmed to KATU that Saturday's session was called off. The Associated Press reported a spokeswoman for the Senate President, Peter Courtney, said state police recommended the Capitol be closed. There was a lot. You're going to have to really go to Jerry Wilson to get this story. Somebody said my name somewhere. Where's it at? Not there. I got another computer open, actually. I'm going to have to go over here, too. I think, yep. Wait. It's in Real Liberty Media. Who said my name? I heard it tick. All right. Burdick. Yeah, that's her name. Well, I'm thoroughly chasing squirrels. Grammy, you let your squirrel out. All right. Now, let's see. Where? I was at Rolling Stone somewhere. There it is. Okay, and so it's some multiple information here, but and like I said, these guys aren't friendly towards the Republicans. Oregon Senate session canceled. And on to the next one. Oregon State House shut down after lawmakers flee. Right-wing militia announced protest. Kelly Whale reporter of the Daily Beast published the 22nd. So, Jerry Wilson and a few others really pushed to bring this to mainstream media about the militia. They were not even picking up on that. And even one of the lawmakers, you know, it's like, you know, send bachelors and bring body bags and come, you know, if you're coming for me. But meanwhile, militia announced that they would join a two-day rally to take the Capitol. Security concerns prompted Democrats to cancel Saturday's session. Now, here's one, and there's a lot of truth in this, because when people go and say, we're going to kill the governor because she's a dirty extreme environmentalist. Am I trying to be nice? But yeah, this is the insanity in Oregon. It is a glimpse of our very dark future. I know some people don't think it'll happen, but civil war is probably coming. Whether you want to call it a revolution, you want to restore the government, whether you're Antifa and you want to kill fascists, not a good idea. Just not a good idea. The people with guns, though, have involved themselves in a legislative dispute while the officials of one political party cheer them on. In these times, I keep hearing a tick. I thought it was chat, but I don't see my name over there. Okay. People with guns have involved themselves in a legislative dispute while the officials of one party cheer them on. In these times, everything looks like an ill omen. The Capitol is crowded with crows. Wow. Yeah. So weird omens, huh? Ill omens. But it is not an exaggeration to say that if you're not following the ongoing insanity in Oregon, you're missing a look at a very dark future. It begins with a not at all unusual squabble between the Republicans and the Republicans in the Oregon legislature and the Democrats Democratic Governor Kate Brown. Well, I mean, she ain't by herself. There's other Democrats. There's 20 of them. And I don't guess she counts. Okay, so this will all be here. You can look deeper. Wait, before I go back here, let me see. I've got some other links here that bringing us up to par here. I think I got two or three of them. Where there's a lot more information. I'm going to include this. Yeah, Vanderhart's his name. Dirk Vanderhart from Oregon Public Broadcasting. Some of these people are just so talented in writing. No matter that there's a little different ideology, you can still search out and pick out that facts along the way. So he says Oregon Senate Republicans plan announcement that they could return to work. And I'm saying that, and this is from June 28th. Yes, that's today. At 7:31 a.m., he said that. So they're talking about maybe coming back tomorrow. Senate Minority Leader Herman, wow, this is a name, B-A-E-R-T, Barch, Sugar. Where do you get that name? What kind of name is it? B-A-E-R-T-C-R-S-C-H-I-G-E-R. But he is a junior. I mean, if you got a name like that, definitely pass it on. Herman was simple. He's a Republican out of Grants Pass. And he told the Oregon Public Broadcasting Friday morning that he planned to make an announcement regarding the boycott that has shut down business in the Senate for more than a week. He said his members would not be in the audience when the chamber gravels in at 9 a.m. Friday. While this fellow sees, he would not discuss the planned announcement, he strongly suggested Republicans would be back to work in coming days. Well, Sunday's the 30th, so I don't know why they would come earlier. I mean, what would be the point? Unless, like I said earlier, they just sent a few just so they could make a presence but still not have a quorum. And that's what I would expect. So that, you know, the deadline is midnight, June 30th. But they're talking about some other outstanding budget and policy bills lawmakers are still considering. So it's going to be an interesting weekend, he said, isn't it? Yeah. Speculation in the Capitol has suggested Republicans would most likely return to work Saturday morning. I don't think so. And that lawmakers could sit through marathon floor sessions in order to complete their work. Continue reading here, an Oregon Public Broadcasting news article, Oregon Senate Republicans. But there is this one or the next one that further reading. So let me go to the bottom. There's a lot of information coming out. Does Republican walkout mean the end for Peter Courtney's tenure? Let's see. There's, Hanford Nuclear Waste. That's up pretty close to Lonnie Clark. She's pretty close to Salem and that part of the world there in Oregon. So also here, the SCOTUS block census censorship questions. I'm looking for some more stuff specifically. And I'll be coming to the closeout. Will be with discussing Roger Roots and John Lamb's report. Maybe of this one. And I think, I don't remember if I put this in the blog or not, or the R-log. But this is demonstrators urge Republican senators to stay away from rural Arkansas. And this is again from Dick Vanderhart. Comes June 27, yesterday at 12:45 p.m. And I'm pretty sure that'll be left coast time. Salem rally urges lawmakers to stay away. I don't know why they would want to come back. Does Republican mean the end of this guy here, Courtney's tenure? Well, I don't know. I'm going to scroll to the bottom and see if I see these other headlines that was of importance. Like I said, you can come over and read all this for yourself. I did read it. Yeah, they some pictures here. No on the HB 2020. The flatbed truck rides by as crowd rallies in the Capitol in Salem to protest House Bill 2020. And that came from David Stuckery took that picture for Oregon Public Broadcasting. And I've been looking at these pictures, and I have not found anybody that I know. I've not seen anybody that I know prominent, which I thought I might. Loggers at the rally also voiced concerns about the House bill, and which is expected to raise fuel prices. I mean, expected? Don't you got to know it? Or is it so vague you don't even know? And would allow companies to offset their pollution, pay to pollute, by ensuring that some forested areas are not logged. Well, that's not, you know, a bad idea to protect forest, right? But there's also a place to go cut some trees down. The thinning, I mean, commercially even. But people that would like to go out and cut firewood and get a permit, you know, some places allow that. Other people, places, ideas, they will, they'll beat you to death or put you in prison for pulling a leaf off of a dadgum land out in the desert. No kidding, or some places else too. Yeah, just hasn't got a lot of good sense all the way around to the way this extreme environmentalism works. I believe in environmentalism. I don't think you ought to pour oil on the ground or you know, pollute rivers and all that. I'm going to give you an example of true conservatism versus the extreme, and that is the tearing down of the dams, like in Klamath Falls. It dries up pretty near, and when it gets real hot, that river don't run. And, you know, all that water, them lakes provide a great deal of habitat. If they're worried if fish can't jump over that dam, then there's a lot of different ways and a lot of cheaper ways that could be done, from fish ladders and, you could stock them. I mean, just whatever. But tearing down dams is... it's not helping the environment. It's not helping wildlife. It's not preserving any endangered species to tear it down. You know, I've even heard them talk about they ought to tear the Hoover Dam or the in Boulder, Nevada. Crazy. Yeah, where are you going to get your water then? Of course, they want people to die off, right? So here's the more news. I think this was the one I was looking for. Maybe not. It's the same one. Nope. Well, I thought I had a link open up for all that I was going to have there. Maybe it's somewhere else. Nope, not there. Not there. What's this one? Maybe this one's it. I think this is actually a guess. Yeah. From opb.org news. Yeah, there's a lot of links in here. Let's see. I pulled some headlines. There's to do with the blocking census citizenship questions. All right, here we go. A federal judge to decide Hammond's access to Oregon public grazing lands. Environmental groups are trying to block the federal government from allowing the Hammond's access to some grazing allotments near the Steens Mountains in rural southeast Oregon. DOE says no changes planned for handling of high-level Hanford nuclear waste. They've got problems at Hanford, if you don't know. Check out Lonnie Clark, The Age of Fission. You can find her at the UCY.TV YouTube channel. Nuts for Art is her YouTube. Pretty smart lady. She's a liberal, also a friend of mine. But I'm liberal in many things, and conservative, where if you can put titles, I'll have to take them to describe it. Let's see what else we got there. Are there more cougars in our space or more of us in theirs? Well, there are some more, but I think that about does it, except for to get back to cover Roger and John. And I have this link open. Let me see what the other one is. This one is towards the end of it, about Greg Bretzing. He was the former Oregon area special agent in charge, I think it was, the FBI. What's this one? Oh, that's a calendar. Okay. Yeah, I got that for the date. Thursday the 20th is when they walked out. All right. Well, I'll just tell you who this guy is. He's gone to work for Greenbrier's director of global security. So So he was, let me look at his face. I'm going to see if I can read in it. Yeah, he looks like, I'll do you in and you won't even be able to stop me. From Nigel Waukes, published February 7th, 2017. And so this is old news, but he is relevant today because he's the only one left in the lawsuit. And they dismissed Astorita, the guy that opened fire on Lavoie and them, and Sean and Victoria and Ryan, because they say they didn't serve him personally. You know, these guys, the other people on the lawsuit, they are they're listed like Agent A and Agent B. You know, they turn their body cams off so that their faces. What kind of cops do we got when we've got to have them masked? I mean, does nobody not see this same thing as what's happened in other places in the world where they mask themselves? The keepers of law have to hide? Why? Shouldn't you be proud? Why did you hide your face, Ryan English, Robert Shapiro, Miss Wart, and the U.S. Marshal appointed from the Denver County Sheriff's Department, Mr. Byrne? Why did you all hide your face? And that other girl that was with you? I'll tell you what, I don't have a problem being a judge and taking it and doing it on, you know, there's obvious right and wrong. You can convolute it all you want to by calling it legal. It ain't right. So this guy, he was a Federal Department of Justice investigation and FBI agents firing bullets at the late Lavoie Finicum and failing to disclose that action continues, according to an exit interview Bradsey did with OPB in January. It'd be more here, but yeah, he's probably six-figure job, reckon, or more. Reckon he's getting $1 million a year or more. I bet it's high dollar, but it's that he lands at a local rail car and barge maker, so you can look that up. It's Greenbriars. He's global security. It pays to play, I guess, when you're evil. Yeah, I'll stand and judge you. Don't have a problem with that. All right, let's go back over and wrap this up because I almost ran an hour. And I started a little bit late because I forgot to push the button. Here we go. This is all pretty quick. Oh, I need my notebook here for this one. This is a video from it's from the Lavoie Finicum YouTube channel. The link is here. It's an update from Roger Roots. No, I'm sorry. It's not from the Finicum. It's from Rudy, which is Lone Star 1776. Rudy Davis. He's a very big political prisoner, activist. Does a lot of work. I should do more. I was listening to a guy the other day. People used to do 4 hours for their bread and 4 hours for community and 4 hours for themselves. And then you still got another 12 hours. I ain't even sure what you do with the rest of the day, but that's not a bad policy if you weren't being stolen from and you had all your extra to be able to do it. So on the Finicum wrongful death suit, yes, Astorita has been dismissed because they did not properly serve him. But as I said, how are you going to find this guy? They did attempt to communicate through the attorney, his attorney, which if you'll listen to the video that this sets up for, I might have wrote that down on my notebook, but it does show, you know, that you're attempting to do, I can't think of the right word for it, but it is, here you go, Donna. And for the Browns and a lot of other people, the U.S. versus Davis. This is overturned, and a lot of people are going to have to be coming out of prison. Now, what this is let me find it. let's see. Hold on with me just a minute. Here it is. So this 924C is basically it's conspiracy. One count will take you, give you 5 years federal, and then a second count's going to give you 25 to life. So when you stack on, you know, three, four, whatever, y'all, we've got Greg Burleson that's was 68 years. His case is still before Judge Gloria Navarro. Of course, with the dismissal with prejudice of Bundy et al. Tier 1, which was actually the third round of trials, because they redid the first round, which was tier 2. They started at tier 2, went to tier 1, and tier 3 got dismissed as well after Cliven, Ammon, Ryan Bundy, and Ryan Payne, they were dismissed. And then the other guys that were in the next tier, which was, tier 3, the lowest, they call the lowest people there was, a few of them. Let me see, hold on. So, conspiracy, 924C, conspiracy to obstruct or impede a federal officer with a firearm in a crime of violence. Now, the it'll be all in the links here. The from the SCOTUSblog.com, case files, United States versus Davis. So they've... I expect a lot of people that are going to be getting out. This is one of these things they hang on people. And yeah, also here is the firearm offenses, use of firearm 924C. We've got Cornell Law of telling us what about amicus curiae is, and a petty fed. All this stuff is referenced by Roger Roots in the video, the offense exception. And also on the judge panel for the ninth, is it the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals? Trump's judges he appointed on there. I think it was, is it Watford or Fletcher? They've got two. They've pegged out two of the judges that'll be on this. I guess I tell you what I'm talking about. The Court of the state has filed an appeal to bring the court, the Bundys back to court, even though it was dismissed with prejudice, hiding exculpatory evidence. Giglio, I was just saying it Giglio, but I guess it's Giglio, you can say it, G-I-G-G-L-I-O, I think, and Brady violations. So, let's see here. The state filed for a motion of continuance here, and that is in the Ninth Circuit Court. It's a 3-judge panel, and Roger seems to think that it might take up to a year to go through. Now, I've covered this earlier in a earlier broadcast and read the rules on that, and I'm surprised they did not push it through, because I expect they're not going to be able to let the Bundys get away with bucking the government, and I would think they'd want to got that through there, and they're not going to do another hard roundup. They'll want everybody placated or locked up where they won't get any problem from PETA for running cows to death out there in the hot time of the year and when the cows have calved. All right, so Greg Burleson, he's still under Navarro's jurisdiction there. She should have been already released him. And Todd Engel, he got 14 years and a couple of charges there that, you know, this conspiracy always comes up. And then they said he come across state lines to do an extortion, like saying, we're saying you're going to turn them cows loose and we're going to go help you let them out, then what you're saying that person then is denying the state the contraband and the spoils of war, because that's what it really, really breaks down to. Now, so his appeal, though, is in the Ninth Circuit Court at this time, Todd Engel. And the second Bundy case, now we're going back up to Oregon. Then the first round, we had Ammon and Ryan and Shauna. Who else was in on that round? There's a couple others there. I should have wrote it all down. But anyways, here we go. They got all not guilty in October 2016. They were not convicted. And then the second round, see, they split them up because, you know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket if you're government. So in that round, second round, wait a minute, somebody say something. Let me see. Somebody say something to me? No? I keep hearing a click like it's chat. Maybe it's because I got another computer open. Maybe I'll go look and see if it's the other chat room. It is. Look at there. It's red. So I know somebody said something. Let's go see. From Wanataki. Wanataco. I think I got to back up. Wanataco says, nah, he won by perseverance in the face of extremely adverse times. I might have to have that in context. Go ahead and tell me again, Juan the Taco. What that means. Who are you talking about, Juan? And then on to say, Vinny, but it isn't democracy in itself, mob rule. Some will claim that a majority or the people, so this is from a while back here. Sorry to get take so long to get back to you. Or, let me start again. Some will claim that a majority or the people as a whole have given their consent to be ruled, even if many individuals have not. Such an argument turns the concept of consent on its head. No one, individually or as a group, can give consent for something to be done to someone else. That is simply not what consent means. Thank you. That's very good. And I get a lot of people trying to say, I wasn't there when the contract was signed, the Constitution, you know, and la, la, la. Like, I shouldn't be in there. But the Constitution is not a contract over the people. It is a contract over the performance of government and those people that occupy these seats of decision, that they are supposed to be not doing what these people are supposed to be doing here, that Wanataka was talking about in this mob rule of democracy and claiming to be able to give consent for somebody else to violate another. Well, I mean, you know, you can look at the extremes of laws from one direction to another. You know, when is it okay to kill somebody? That's what I really got those guys' attention in the courthouse in Denver when I said to them, I said, you know, we've come a long ways in this world where we've gone from our first responses to kill. And that, they didn't know who I was at first. I mean, I introduced myself, but that really got their attention. And then they looked in and said, oh, I'm a Putin. Must be one of these malcontents and a sovereign citizen or something like that. But no, that's not... not even close. A lot of people that seem to gravitate into these situations have been worked over in some manner of fashion by the system. And even people that feel like maybe they've been betrayed by the system. And then you get to these wacky, crazy people. Corey LeCue. How is that guy not back in jail already? I mean... got out of prison, and I bet you he's got a gun and ready to go kill somebody and others. It's not the answer. War is not the answer. There's a prime example of what, and they're being criticized by the Democrats. The Republicans were trying to protect the people, and it, well, they missed a lot of opportunity to actually expose the wrong in this. But other people are talking about it, and as you've heard me say also there, right, let me bounce around a couple of tabs here. Back to the bucking goober mints. Yes, Grimner. Goober mints. Yeah, I never understood why anybody would like a mint-flavored peanut. Maybe it's a peanut-flavored mint. Goober mint. Well, that's one of the little funny jokes for the not too hard to entertain. All right, well, let's go back over here. Wait. Oh, I'm pretty close to done, Grimner. I'm real close to being done. I'm wrapping it up here on the update. So we have all those filed in there. Let's see. One more page here. I think I already covered all this. I did. Let's see at the bottom. Yeah, I did cover that too. Oh, one thing I didn't say. In the, what trial was that? that Roger was talking about. Judge Anna Brown pulled 400 prospective jurors, half of the 800 prospective jurors, excuse me, from the pool. Just some of them would probably been a good call to bring them out, you know, whatever they was, financial hardship and so forth. He talks about it, but it's all in the R log, and I'm going to close out here just real quick, like, and the bottom down here on the R log, the radio log page here. If you can find it as a Ponder Gander, you can find it at reallibertymedia.com/author/Vine, or Vinny, if you spell it V-I-N-E, which I've taken to doing. Let me ask you this. Who is he for whom you raised the gallows tree? Am I asking you? He who serves me best, said he. That's the hangman, said that. I've got that on BitChute. And the link will be right here. You can click on it. The motto on the courthouse is a quotation from Virgil. It translates to, having been warned, learn justice. Unbound, the whole truth and nothing but, I say. And the beautiful thing about truth is it is so easy to tell. And that's what Carol Bundy says. And you ought to see the twinkle in her eye when she says it. She had a knowing. I personally have... my doubts about how things are yet to turn out for the Bundy at all, folks. But sometimes you got to make do with what you got. Cowboy up. Hey, this is What Matters has been a Ponder Gander. It's a radio writing series of USA versus Bundy et al. It's a Bundy Ranch standoff and trial report by me, your host, Vincent Easley II. The Think and Reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. Standing in the gap, connecting voices, considering perspectives, and broadcasting what matters worldwide, right here at reallibertymedia.com. Thanks for coming on along. This is the Freakers Friday, spelled with two E's. Let's be free, the Freaker Friday. Grammy's in a rocket chair. She's free and unbound from the tethers of Earth's gravity. She's blasting off in her rocket chair tonight at 7 Eastern. Woo-hoo-hoo. Gas-free Grammy, go, go, go. And at 11 Eastern, we've got, if Moosey's here, it's going to be the Freakers Ball, y'all. And if not, it'll be balls to the walls, and not your balls, but their balls. Take their ball. Don't let them take their ball and go home. Put it against the wall. That's right. Tomorrow, Flash will be here with the Dork Table. And I don't know what the river level is, but I don't know. I gotta go check it. I'm gonna make a river trip again, another one, and do a float. If I can get somebody to go with me, I really like it. But anyway, so I may or may not be here tomorrow with Mr. Flash as somebody on a dork table, and that comes at noon o'clock on the eastern side of the country. Sunday. This is the big day right here at Real Liberty Media. If you come a little bit early, at 11:45, you can hear Grimner as he tunes up for some blues, and we play some trivia for about 3 hours. Thank you, Hans. Judge Dredd, he says that I'm honest. Thank you. Glad you was able to tune in and listen. And I'll get you the link for it when we get it put up there, so you can download it and bring it back and pick out what you didn't quite hear. So anyways, yes, considering perspectives and broadcasting what matters worldwide. We're back Sunday there. Where'd I leave off? 11:45. Grimner's tuning up, playing, and then at 12 o'clock we start trivia. If you got slow internet speed, you'll probably want to tie one hand down to keep from throwing things when you get beat out by all these smart people we got over here. Yes, very smart. And not just trivial matters. But, I mean, if you've got, and Flash is pointing this out, if you got a question, come on over here to the chat room. It is reallibertymedia.com, and you'll see lots of buttons to push. Click the one that says pop-up chat, or if you're an IRC client. Okay, Grimner. I mean, Judge Dredd, he's complimented me and backhanding Flash at the same time. Oh, Flash is my friend. He makes my heart smile. I love him. He's he and I, well, he tried to break up with me one time. She's like, you can't break up with me. We're friends, man, for life, forever. Yeah. But, hey, we've got a Bunny Ranch playlist. Most of are my original works there. A few, couple of copies, anyways, and shares. But on the Real Liberty Media YouTube, just type in HTTPS, /// YouTube.com/Real Liberty Media, all one word, and that'll bring you right in there, and playlist, and all our other shows there. And I've got a few playlists over there. The Bundy Ranch playlist is the one you'd be looking for. Under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, allowances made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research, even if you're not good at it. Some people are better than others. Well, this is only here. This is what I've shared with you is a little build-up here for to. If you want to know what's going on out there in Oregon with the senators, and then also we've got the Bundys and those people that stood with them. And you go right on down to the end of this radio log, you'll see the Bundy Ranch Standoff YouTube playlist. You can just click on it. That's me right there in that picture in the white T-shirt under the bridge and back up high right beneath where Eric Parker, EJ, was watched over the people that came to stand in the gap, shouting loudly, echoing, what is the American way? Truth and justice, not just because you say so. The government is of and by we, the people, not to be ruled over by force of might and governed and not governed or governed without representation or governed at gunpoint, as some folks have called it. And as a minor member, as a member of the minor media, I encamped in what has been called the Battle of Bunkerville. I reported via internet radio from the Bundy Ranch standoff in the spring of 2014 along the Virgin River in southern Nevada. I returned to Las Vegas for the federal trial of USA versus Bundy et al. As a reporter and as a witness, number 303 for the defense. So you'll find history and current events, live stream, video, radio broadcast of the standoff led by the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, so that we're not confused about that Black Lives Matter, against the peaceful pushback protest standing in the gap at the Bundy Ranch in the spring of 2014. And I'm continuing to stand a witness from the Las Vegas, I was then, but I'm standing here, or sitting here, witnessing still for the Bundys and those that stood with them. I'm Levy right here at RealLibertyMedia.com, author Vine, about.me, Vincent Easley. You can find other all places that I might be, and come on over here and see this series of radio that I've done and standing up. Donna is, I think we might be able to get her in here pretty soon to give us an about Ed and Elaine Brown. Some of y'all might know who they are. Basically, they said, show me the law that says I'm supposed to give you my money to the IRS. Well, that didn't go very well. Unless this USA versus Davis can be applied, I don't know how long all that's going to take, but there's a lot of people hoping to be getting out of prison behind all this. All right, so that brings us to Monday. Oh, no, I didn't finish Sunday, did I? All right, Grimner and the Blues and Trivia. Until 3 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock out there on the left coast again. Hal Anthony comes from behind the woodshed. And that can of whoop ass, it's not on you. He's giving you the means and abilities. A pathfinder leading you through. You know, I'm not dead or in prison. I'm pretty sure because I had took enough lessons from Hal not to be saying stupid things out of, people say things out of their emotion, you know, and then they end up in prison. And they come around trying to sign me up. Hey, let's get you signed up for the militia here. Well, get your ID, your name, write it down here. I said, I'm not here to join nobody. Come of my own accord. I'm not a joiner. Where am I? What happened? I went all the way up to the top. How'd that happen? Let me get back down here to the bottom. I guess, no, that's all of it. Yeah, okay, so that leaves us, left it Sunday again, behind the woodshed. And then we come back, Grimner is here at 7 o'clock Monday night for some leftovers. They're mighty grim, but sometimes you will not choke to death. Come on along. Grimner has a great voice. If you don't know who Grimner Freeman is, he's the chief cook and ball watcher right here, Real Liberty Media. Tuesday, Flash is still doing his crazy 2 o'clock Eastern radio. It's like sensible hours if you're in Denmark. It's because it's 8 a.m. Yeah, and he's in a perfect world. Contrasting the occupation all by himself. I woke up a little late. I was going to try to wake up and jump in with you this last week, but it didn't happen. After summer, we'll kick all this stuff around and go back in. So, this is a special broadcast today. I'm not, I'm taking the summer off, so I'm not bound here. Unless something comes up, then I got to do it, right? So there, Tuesday. Now, Wednesday, Grammy's back again at 7 o'clock in her rocket chair. And I hope they don't put no cap and trade tax on her. I don't know how gassy she is, but if they are, they're SBDs. They don't seem to bother me on the radio not one bit. She'll blame it on her cat, though, probably, if she did turn one loose. I love you, Grammy. Just kidding. Back Thursday. Such a deal. 20% off. Flash, somebody is back. And I got to tell you, Flash has been getting a lot better at radio. He doesn't cuss near as much, but that's not the point. He's getting more comfortable in being solo. Now, I think it was a year of radio. Well, me and Flash have been doing radio off and on for a long time, several years. But when I first started in 2013, I was just nervous to come on air. And I don't know why. It's like, there's some amount of expectation. Hey, Circle. Yes, I love you too. This is Circle is Flash's better half. She's such a wonderful person. I like these two people. Flash can be cantankerous, but we are who we are, right? We don't love somebody for who they are. But we do in spite of who they are. Trying to change people and that'll never work, you know how many psychiatrists it takes to change a light bulb? Just one, but it really has to want to change, doesn't it? Okay, so we left off at Thursday. That is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with Mr. Flash, somebody from Denmark. He's an American in Denmark. Not to be confused with an American werewolf in London, but he does have that hair everywhere. He says there is sensors. They're like nerves. I keep my hair short, like a cop haircut. Yes. And we're back to Friday. Thursday, yes, sir. That's how you pronounce it. It's dang Arky speak Grimness. It's Thursday. Yes, sir. I don't think that I will be back on air next Friday. Perhaps, depending on what situation might arise. And I wish the government would stop. I want a puppy. I want to go get my cat and bring it back home. I want to get a goat and build a fence and milk it and have chickens. And I don't want to have to worry about jumping up and have to go back and stand in the gap and be a witness to the crimes of the state against people that are just trying to make a living. People think Clive and Bundy's some big rich rancher. He lives in a 1950-something old house. I'll tell you something my uncle said, and he's got money. He says you can tell a man by the size of his junk pile. And you know what? When you need something, you go out there and make it. These are purity country folks, salt of the earth. Anybody, I just don't know. But a lot of people, they don't have any connection to the earth. And then they want to set up and read their magazine articles and tell people that they shouldn't piss on off their own front porch or something like that, right? Oh, you'll kill a roly-poly. Laws are different, though, in different states. And my neighbor, who's a very distant cousin, from like 1700s, our family line come together easily, or split back then. Anyways, she's traveled a lot, and I've been to all but four states. And laws are different. And ignorance is no excuse. So you really got to be guard yourself in all kinds of ways. Where you put yourself, where you allow yourself to be, and what's coming against you. You got to be aware of where you're, the place that you're occupying, because chances are, if it's an empty space, it will be occupied by something that's coming along down the pike that you just don't know about yet. So keep your eyes and ears open. Listen to Hal Anthony, behind of which it... Cranky David, I'm sorry that you two guys got cheeky with one another. It was indeed a great missed opportunity for getting through. Now, a lot of people might not be able to understand right straight away what Hal's telling you. You've got to really listen and work through it, because you got to work through all this other junk that's piled up in there that is everybody's so confused. These people that think that whatever, constitutionalist, patriot, whatever name you want to put on there, a sovereign citizen, all this stuff, you think that you can use the power of your words against the power of the state's words. And all I can tell you is look at the people that are locked up, and you got to be smart in this stuff. Got to be smart. I think that wraps it up. Yeah, back again the next Friday. And that'll do it. Let's see, we've got about 4.5 hours Grammy will be here. And I think she's back. She took a week off. And Moosey, let me go to chat. Is Moosey in there listening? I don't think she likes to listen to me anymore. Grimner, is Moose Girl with you tonight? She says I talk too much about the Bundys. So I'm away. And Judge Dredd wants a herd of cattle and an old well. You know, the Beverly Hillbillies, in the storyline, they were not far. They come from just on the other side of the river from here, just a little ways. Oxley, and then Granny was over and across the line to Tennessee, over across the Delta. It's not a Stetson. You know, I want a Stetson, though, my next hat. And this one here is about, I've about got it wore out, Grimner. It's broke. It's a straw hat, and it is a Rodeo King. I want to be a rodeo clown. I wish I could find that song. As a matter of fact, I'm going to wind this broadcast out right now and go push a button. Pause.